Quick, in three, in two, and one.
Welcome back to Cinema Vino.
Hello.
Greetings.
I'm here with Tay, Trav.
Konnichiwa.
I'm Todd, E. It's good to be with you all again.
Yeah.
So
really quick, let me hop in here. Guys, I apologize for the last podcast.
No,
I was activated.
No.
And I like to tell stories.
Never apologize for who you are, man.
So I'm going to go ahead and sit this one out. You guys have a good show.
Yeah. Yeah. That'll work. Travis can just be a spectator. He can audit this podcast. He can be a pass-fail.
Yeah.
As opposed to an actual letter grade.
I think last week would have been an I. Incomplete.
Incomplete.
Yeah. Incomplete. Yeah.
It's like, why don't you come back next semester and we'll try again.
Three Amigos is a great film, though.
It is.
It was, yeah.
And tequila reposado is delicious.
That's kind of a similar wind.
Like, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Needed a lot more lime.
That was the sound of tumbleweeds blowing away.
Oh, God.
And this week we're going to do The Rock.
Yeah.
And we're drinking a Boothby, which is a San Francisco cocktail.
It's tasty.
And we'll go into the recipe of that a little bit later. But, yeah, it's basically kind of a fancy highfalutin Manhattan. So it's a bourbon-based mixed drink that was created by a bartender in San Francisco.
Nice.
So, we're going to watch The Rock, San Francisco-based. We're also going to drink some Pranksters, some golden ale that comes from Northern California. So, drink some stuff from that area. So, yeah.
I like it.
I'm going to drink it lightly.
Mm-hmm.
I want to make it to the end of this and then to the end of the podcast, and then maybe I'll get wasty-faced.
Mm-hmm.
No,
maybe not first.
Look at this pretty boy. This pretty boy.
Full of hopes and dreams. And yeah, that's the great thing for you, the listeners. You get to hear the before and after of this debacle.
But at least, wow. Yeah, before we came over on Three Amigos, I think Taylor and I were already activated.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And now it's just Taylor that's activated today.
Yeah, I've had a few. But you know, hey man, it's Sunday. You know, well, we're recording this on a Sunday.
Yes.
It's like, I mean, like, I am very religious.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, hey, you have to drink on the Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
But you're also not supposed to work.
That's why I'm drinking. Thou shalt not work on the Sabbath.
No. Yeah. Oh, so if you do what you love, you never work a day in your life.
The original commandment
what you're doing.
Was remember the Sabbath-ish and keep it holy.
It's like Psalm 37, let there be hot wings in heaven.
Generals gathered in their masses, just like witches at black masses, the Black Sabbath.
Can you tell both these guys went to seminary? It's pretty obvious.
Yeah.
I never touched the stuff.
Yeah, we're all going to hell anyway.
Mm-hmm. seminary.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So anyway, I don't even know what to say.
Yeah, it's like
that
are
totally.
We sure? Yeah,
I just got knocked off my horse.
And you're not activated?
No. Again, this is the second time I've been asked if I'm drunk today. I'm like, no, I'm just fucked up. I'm just fucked in the head. I just have a sixth sense of humor.
Mm-hmm.
Pure West.
So anyway, we are going to start The Rock, and we will report back shortly. So mark your in your notes, this is Travis sober-ish right now.
Just give us one Connery quote before we start off.
And that's the thing, is when we come back.
Because I'm going to try and give my best.
Mm-hmm. Your best. Losers whine about their best. Winners go home and fuck the prom queen.
Oh, Todd, that's just rude.
But when we come back, Nicolas Cage impression.
Come back.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So I'm going to work on Nicolas Cage during the entire movie. So this will be good.
Nice.
Mm-hmm. So anyway, we will be back.
Love you.
Go with God.
Welcome back to Cinema Vino.
Hi.
This is many hours later. We have watched The Rock. We have drank some cocktails.
Yeah.
And I had a two-day hangover, and now I've just gotten a little hair of the dog.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And, guys, I'm back.
Travis has had some sauce for the gumbo, and he's ready to rock and
roll. Well, I'm not near as sauce as I was last week.
If
Taylor is.
Yeah, no, if we're going to change roles here, I'm just going to take over the role of Travis.
Well, you can't week. Because I can understand what you're saying. You're not slurring. My dad saw Three Amigos. He liked it later in life.
That was one of the best stories. That was like Garrison Keillor. That was like gold.
God, I listened to it sober at the, like in the Sonic car hop. I was eating my tots and I was just like,
Sonic,
I couldn't
fucker.
I couldn't keep chewing. I was like, stop talking. It was stop
a,
talking.
It was a great
stop
day talking. To watch Three Amigos on Lake Wobegon.
Yeah. It, still a great movie, though.
Mm-hmm. As if you got to the end of that episode, then good on you.
Yeah, mad respect. Yeah.
Y'all are troopers, and thanks for coming back.
Yeah.
I apologize. Mm-hmm.
It's kind of like the Doors during that concert where Jim Morrison pulled his dick out on stage. It's like, if you want to go see him again, good for you. You know?
Yeah.
You never expect during like Light My Fire that the lead singer is going to pull his wiener out. You know, it's like, well, you know.
Well, you hoped.
Yeah.
It's like, you know what? I'll pay for another ticket. Let's have another go around.
I'm not going to stop.
It's worth the price.
Let's just keep
admission.
Going. Yeah. Yeah. We're just going to keep going. Yeah. Let's
break on through to the other side. So,
what did we do tonight?
I don't remember. We watched a movie of some kind. And it involved Sean Connery, and I promise that I'm going to keep my Sean Connery impressions to a minimum.
No, to a tasteful minimum. No.
Your bish.
Yeah.
Welcome to the Rock.
Now, Todd has said that he was going to work on his Nicolas Cage impression.
He did.
During this.
So,
it's tough.
Yeah. Let's just get to the nitty gritty of it. Yes?
Why did you choose this film?
Because it was to me, and we've kind of... Trust me, we talked a lot through this film. But
yeah, I was on my phone a lot. I remembered a lot of the movie.
I see. But it was like, it was, to me, when I first saw it, it was that comedy. It was hilarious to me. Yeah. I was like, I think they're trying to be so serious, but it's also so hilarious. And it was with two pretty damn good actors.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know,
Oscar winners,
yeah,
both
like
of them.
Ed Harris. You know, Sean Connery, and then, you know, Nicolas Cage. And so about midway through, I looked at Todd and I'm like, so is technically Nicolas Cage is the comedic relief in here. Mm-hmm. You know, he's the guy that breaks everything up. Mm-hmm. Like Ed Harris just kills it. Like as bad as a movie it was, he killed it acting wise.
Yeah.
And actually even Sean Connery killed it. It was like, even though he had some cheesy... I mean,
and they only had one scene together.
Which is not his fault, the cheesy one-liners.
Yeah, but these cheesy one-liners, but I was like, man, honestly, what is a hilarious movie? Yes.
You kind of get like a free James Bond movie, you know?
Yes.
Yeah, they do thinly veil it to be like, this guy could have been a James Bond.
Yeah, who's unfairly
John
locked away.
Patrick Mason.
And it's like, yes. It's like, and then he gets...
Her Majesty's.
And then he gets, like, you know, put out the clinking clink in Alcatraz, and he gets to, like, you know, be James Bond one more time.
Yeah.
With a nerdy, like, scientific sidekick.
Yeah.
And didn't they say, okay, so, movie was in 96. Mm-hmm. They said he had been on ice or in jail for, like, 30 years.
Yeah.
So, when was his last Bond movie? No, I mean, not counting Never Say Never Again.
71.
Oh, so 71.
Kind of.
Okay.
I mean, ballpark.
Gotcha.
Same era.
All right.
So they could have played off that. Good call.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I see.
I was thinking that he had been, you know, incommunicado. That's why we hadn't heard from the Sean Connery Bond.
Well, it goes back. Like, so I asked Todd. I was like, so who was the bigger character at the time? Like, knowing damn well that Sean Connery was a damn name, but it's like, was this the up and coming of Nicolas Cage? I mean, like, was this a big role for him? Or was it like, hey, we're going to cast Ed Harris, Connery, and then let's throw in an up and coming guy? And like,
he'd already been in some stuff. Mm-hmm. I mean, Moonstruck, but I'm trying to think of
Leaving Las Vegas was his, he won the Oscar for that the year
him
before.
Elizabeth Shue?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So,
this was his first big leading man role. Is that
he had some weird character roles like Moonstruck with Cher, and then Peggy Sue Got Married with Kathleen Turner. He had some 80s stuff.
Oh, yeah.
He had some weird,
and he
like...
he did some weird vampire
he
film.
He did a Top Gun knockoff called Firebirds with Tommy Lee Jones.
You can't see my face, but it's just very upset.
Tay is not happy.
What in the hell are you all... What is happening? It's like... I don't know any of these films, but that sounds upsetting.
Yes.
You've seen Moonstruck, though. right?
Well, I know of it.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
Mm. He's got a wooden hand.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, I mean, it's kind of what we're saying during the movie. It's like Nick Cage was like a household name at that point.
He was a name of the time.
He was, I mean, nothing on, around Sean Connery, who was, you know, the Bond.
What year was Face Off?
The next year, 97.
Okay.
Nick Cage had that and then Con Air in 97.
Jesus.
So he was come on, ride that train.
And then was National Treasure, was that like early? Oh, he had Gone in 60 Seconds.
That's 2000.
And then, and then Con Air was late 90s, and then early 2000s was National Treasure.
Mm-hmm.
Must have been 2001 or 2004?
I think 2004.
He had Ghost Rider. And Ghost Rider with a Spirit of Vengeance.
Mm-hmm.
Neither of which I would recommend to anyone, even on death row.
He had a movie called Knowing, which I thought was horrid.
Is that the one where he knew the apocalypse was happening?
Yes.
Now, there's one that he was also in called Next, where he had a bit of a mullet or skullet. And I actually kind of enjoyed it because I read the short story it was based off of, where you could like see 10 seconds in the future.
Mm-hmm.
And he was like, what, Frankenstein Cadillac or Frank Cadillac? Man, that's right.
What?
His casino stage name was Frank Cadillac. And he was like, I combine two things I love, Frankenstein and Cadillacs.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
No, that's terrible. I mean, like, you know, it goes back to the whole Nicolas Cage thing. It's like, man, he might have done like one or two like great films, but then he does Snake Eyes. And then he does 8mm.
Which is horrible.
Yeah, and it's like...
So 8mm is among my worst movies ever.
Oh, no. No. Yeah, I know we've talked about that numerous times. Like, it's just terrible. And like, after watching, you know, this film again today, I'm like, man, I hate to say it, like, Nick Cage like doesn't carry the film. He's the comedic relief. Like,
yeah.
If it wasn't for Ed Harris and Sean Connery,
mm-hmm.
It's a terrible movie. Terrible movie.
He's got some great, and by the great, I mean terrible, like line deliveries that I love.
Yeah.
Sean Connery, what?
I was going to say, well, I forgot where I was going with that, but it's like Ed Harris also, he's great as like a sympathetic villain.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
He does a great job of like, well, it's like, man, I almost want to root for him.
Yeah.
It's like,
yeah. It's like Magneto.
Yeah.
Where you're like, the villain is doing villainous shit, but he's doing it for altruistic reasons.
Like Thanos.
Or,
mm-hmm. Yeah.
Freaking Punisher. Kind of that same like anti-hero where it's like, you know, it's like, man, he's doing some heinous shit, but it's like, I get it. I get where he's coming from.
You want him on that wall. You need him on that
exactly.
wall.
Exactly. Yeah. Which, we'll get into some 90s shit here in a minute, but it's like, you know, to me, that had two, Get Me the Pentagon, and one, Get Me the President.
Right.
Yeah, which is a great 90s thing.
Yeah.
It has some great 90s tropes, including all of the guys, everybody hunkered around like a speaker. Yeah. Waiting to hear it's the Apollo the Apollo 13 thing. It's Independence Day. Air Force One.
Air Force One. Independence Day. Air Force One. It's like, give me the Pentagon.
And then everybody's like listening to static, like.
And there's always somebody one higher up. So like Air Force One is like, wait, I'm in charge of this situation. No, I'm in charge. It's like there's always one like step higher. Mm-hmm. It's like.
Yeah. Where the hell's the damn chain of command? It's called the damn chain. I go beat you until I'm in command. It's a Firefly reference. Taylor hasn't seen it.
A great show. Check that out.
Yeah, it was on CBS.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, this was a good '90s action movie. It had a lot of cheesy, like, you know, one-liners.
And this is when good old Sean Connery was doing a shit ton of '90s flicks too. Mm-hmm. He was doing First Night, Entrapment.
Entrapment was also a good movie.
What's another? He was doing, this one was 96.
Mm-hmm. He did a movie called Dragonheart. Remember that?
Yes, which wasn't terrible.
Kind of enjoyed it at
the time.
I don't think I've seen that one.
Mm-hmm. Where he plays a dragon.
A lot of CGI. And it was an early example of CGI.
Dennis Quaid, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But yeah, this was entertaining in a cheesy way, which I think now going back and looking like Con Air and those kind of movies, it's all kind of the same.
Yeah.
Where it's like, you know, you love it, but you're also laughing out loud. It had a lot of cartoonish violence in it.
Yes. Yeah, exactly.
I was waiting for John Cusack to show up, and then I realized it wasn't Con Air.
Well, One thing about this that people may not know is that there's a lot of uncredited writers, a lot of people who were a lot of irons in the fire.
Yeah, and let's be honest. I tell you what, Senor Butt over here, well played on the musical composition.
Mm-hmm.
Hans Zimmer. Batman Begins, yeah. Or the Batman, and, the Nolan trilogy.
Yeah. Yeah, which I guess Pirates of the Caribbean was written by Hans Zimmer plus his protege, and I'll have to look up his name, but he had a German protege who, like Hans Zimmer wrote the theme, and then his protege wrote the actual, like, music for the movie kind of thing, but
yeah,
that was also Hans Zimmer.
He was like, hey, this sounds like Pirates of the Caribbean,
mm-hmm.
And it's outrageous to think that, 22 years ago, mm-hmm. this was written, and sadly... kind of sounds like Pirates of the Caribbean. I'm like, mm-hmm. Hans. I'm like, bro. Mm-hmm. I was like, can you switch it up a little bit?
Honestly, you know? This sounded like fledgling of Pirates of the Caribbean. So it sounded like I kept waiting for the theme to complete itself, but this is had like the first like 5 or 6 notes mm-hmm. of mm-hmm. that, and then it trailed off.
Fledgling Virgin is going to be the name of my punk band.
Oh, and it's also my memoirs. It's like,
you know. My first album called Too Many Cucks.
I need to work on my Jack Sparrow as well as my Nick Cage. You know, like Sticks and Stones, love.
Which they're basically the same person.
But I don't know what the key is to doing a good Nick Cage. I've obviously got Sean Connery down pretty well. I'm just like,
maybe.
I take his face.
I think he's just. It just seems he's always so shocked by every response,
mm-hmm.
especially from The Rock. It's like it just seems.
And Joanna brought it Dynamite too. Your wife watched it with us, and she mm-hmm. was just like, "He just goes from really soft to really loud."
Yeah.
Exactly.
It's just he sets you up and then he knocks you down.
Are you out of your freaking mind?
The way he delivers lines is like rope-a-dope. Mm-hmm. He just lulls you into his false of security bombs.
Yeah, very true. Yeah.
No. But yeah, Michael Bay, you know, his directing style is just way over the top.
So was that one of his first big movies?
After Bad Boys. I think Bad Boys was his first.
So sadly, when I watched this, I thought that was like, at the time... the greatest car chase I had ever seen. I was like, oh my God, there's so much happening here. I mean, now I would say, I know what, The French Connection has some crazy shit. And
Steve McQueen.
The Blues Brothers.
Actually,
but this I would say now, right now, like after the Bourne movies.
Identity, yes. Mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't remember which one, but I was like,
it was the very first one.
Ronin, did you guys see Ronin?
Yes, Ronin. Yeah, the very first mm-hmm. Bourne and the Ronin. I thought, I heard those two are the most... you know, compared to The French Connection.
Mm-hmm. And actually, honestly, not as good as the first one, but Matrix Reloaded, like that whole last third of the movie.
Yeah.
The highway, like...
oh,
the
yeah.
Everything was going wildly out of control, but that whole last third of the movie with that big-ass action scene was fucking insane.
That movie, like, looking back on it, was absolutely terrible, except for the highway scene. Mm-hmm. It's like, you have some skills. But it's like, yeah, it just goes back to it.
It's like, yeah, Michael Bay, and people have actually counted like the length of his shot selection, like the cuts. Really? And it's like 2-point-something seconds. Whereas if you go to like old school classic directors like Sidney Lumet, it's like 12 seconds, 14 seconds, like where they put the camera on people to leave it.
Interesting.
His is like 2 seconds. It's like hyperactive MTV generation, like 90s, like. Short attention span.
Cuts on cuts.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I've heard that Ed Harris, during the shooting of this movie, was very frustrated with that, where he could never get through his lines because it was like cut, cut, cut. And it drove him crazy.
Really?
Yeah. And so I guess Ed Harris was not happy during the production of this movie because of how fast Michael Bay was like barreling through it.
It does work in like big action scenes. I mean, it makes there is something to be said by like just leaving the camera on somebody, like in Jaws with Robert Shaw, mm-hmm. his whole speech, and it just draws you in and stuff, and you get to see other people's reactions to what he's saying. But it does give So in with comic books, right, you have one page. You can break it up into like one full page spread if you're really wanting to convey something big or deep or emotional is happening. But if you're just having like two people talk and you have to get through a lot of dialogue, you can, or, you know, smaller action beats, you can cut it up into like nine sections that page just to squeeze in more story or to make it seem, you know, to pick up the pace of the film. So I can see where it would work in parts.
Yes, I agree. And I, as a viewer, for me, it's pretty frustrating to watch Michael Bay movies, no matter what they are, because they go so quickly. It's like that you can't like ever get comfortable with the shot because you know it's going to cut in like a second or two. Mm. And it's almost kind of frustrating. I thought Pearl Harbor was an immensely frustrating movie to watch.
Because Michael Bay too?
You can't follow it, especially because that's a historical thing where you're watching it. And it's like I can't like get into the flow of this where I'm looking for stuff that I know is going to happen, but... You know, it's very incoherently directed.
We're now going back and looking after having watched, like, two, three of his eight Transformer movies, too. I think that's the most recent films I had watched of his. But he's a big fan of, like, fans going on in the background, like, chopping light. But also, anytime, like, a telephone pole or something is falling down... You get a shower of like little fireworks sparks. He used the exact same shit in the very first Transformers.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, oh, I didn't realize this was a Michael Bay signature. But like his same bag of tricks has not changed.
He's a big fan of the cliches where it's like during a chase scene, it's like, oh my God, what do we need here? An old lady with a walker going across the street. Yeah.
I really thought that there was like a cart full of watermelons or something at some point was going to show up. It wasn't. It was a cart full of like, or it was a truck full of water jugs.
Or people carrying like panes of glass across the street. It's like, oh my God, they're going to drive through it.
Yeah. Hello, gentle listeners. Go back and watch this goddamn movie. Tell me how the trolley director fucking lives. He lives in this movie.
He's blown off the ground.
Yeah. Dude, homeboy's trolley goes 40 feet in the air, falls on its side.
Mm-hmm.
He comes out waving his hat around, not bloody in the least.
No.
Very mad and swearing vengeance.
Mm-hmm.
That's going to be The Rock, too.
He knows the track, man. He knows the track. He knows where to move. Yeah, dude.
Fucking bargain basement Eddie Winslow. Eddie Winslow. Carl Winslow.
My bad. Oh, no. Yeah.
That's a family matter.
Actually, I do believe that Eddie became a cop later on.
Mm-hmm.
I do believe Eddie, but yeah. I mean, he's no Waldo.
No.
But it's like...
No.
Waldo Falda?
No. He's not even Stefan or Kel, goddammit.
Waldo
Falda. Jesus Christ.
Okay. Man. Yeah, that got me. Guys, so,
I mean, what... Another thing... That really needs big ups for this film is Sean Connery's wig.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, the long hair?
He had a Gandalf wig.
Are we sure that was his wig?
Oh, the short hair? Yeah.
He's bald a Sunday afternoon.
No, the short hair was his wig?
Yeah. Well, both were the wig.
Well, I knew the long hair was a wig, but...
No.
Really?
Have you ever seen The Untouchables with old Kevin Costner? That's his actual hair. He's got the full on shoehorn.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So even with Charlize or the
Entrapment with
Entrapment
Catherine Zeta-Jones. That's a toupee. All the James Bond movies, he's wearing a toupee.
No shit.
Wait, every single one.
All the James Bond.
Every single one.
Well, now he's my least favorite. Yeah.
No, I forgot.
I mean, you can't.
Even the one where he was fake Asian?
Yes. Even that one.
You only live twice?
That kind of set the stage for The Office where Jim poses, he sends an Asian man in his place and fools Dwight. That was the forerunner to that.
Yeah, S.H.I.E.L.D. agent Jimmy Woo, James Woo.
Kudos to you for not seeing color.
Oop. Yeah. All right.
But anyway, yes, that was a wig that he's wearing in this movie. both, I mean, long hair and short, he's wearing a toupee.
That is outrageous.
Mm-hmm.
The Asian Jim from The Office was in Ant-Man and the Wasp.
Yes, he was.
Played S.H.I.E.L.D. agent Jimmy Woo. Let's hear some of this Nick Cage you got working.
And I thought about that. Like, it's difficult to do a Nick Cage. And I like to think that I'm halfway, a third of the way decent at doing voices.
Sure.
And it's like you kind of have to wind up into it. And so it's like, are you out of your freaking mind? So, anyway, it may take a little bit of work. You know,
it needs you got about 40% there. You need to add a 60, and I think you'll be just right.
I'm a chemical super freak, actually.
Yeah. All right, you're about 35%.
He has a weird draw.
65%.
I gotta go to San Francisco. Oh, that was like that. That was 5%. I'm sorry. That was.
Why don't you give back the bunny? That's the thing. Is like you
now
can...
that now that is classic Cage.
Taylor, I need you to set me up for this one.
Uh-huh.
Ask me if I like your pigtails. Todd,
Tay's got the giggles.
Hold on.
Oh, wait, hold on. I think Taylor wants this one.
No, just go. I
actually, no, I want to hear Taylor say it now.
You can do it.
Oh, wait. Oh, my God. Ugh.
Tay's got the giggles.
Guys, I'm back at the top of my game right now.
I'm really glad somebody handed me this thing of paper and said, write some notes, because I've got four dicks on here.
Oh, my gosh.
Including one that looks like a dragon.
I'm waiting.
What? Oh, my gosh, man. How do you want it?
I just want you to say, do you like my pigtails?
Oh, shit. Okay. No, I can't do this right now. So.
What I really want to know is, are you happy with your haircut?
Todd, I'll hear it from you.
So you want me to ask if you, are you happy with, or do you like the pigtails?
My pigtails. Go ahead.
Do you like my pigtails?
Ooh, yes. Naughty. Naughty. And that's my Nicolas Cage.
Ooh. I gotta go to San Francisco.
Carla was a prom queen.
Anyway. Trav might have the best so far.
Mm-hmm. I think that's strong.
Yeah.
I like how he says that he has a Volvo and that's beige, but he does not even pronounce the B in beige.
Mm-hmm.
Like his lips don't touch.
He's some freaking rockets.
Yeah, he's clenching his teeth so much. I'm like, Drew Volvo, it's beige.
I just want to find some freaking rockets.
Incidentally.
What do you say?
Before we go out, Tay and I had to take a shot because we couldn't remember exactly how dialogue went in the movie.
God.
Because it's like before Nicolas Cage blasts a guy out into the San Francisco Bay, it was like, does he say, and you guys can play at home now, was it A, I don't like soft shit?
Oh, tell him the question. You like, you know, Elton John, the Rocky Man?
Mm-hmm. And he's, does the bad guy say, I don't like soft shit? Mm-hmm. Tony Todd, Candyman, a.k.a. Kern from Star Trek. I don't like soft shit. I don't like soft ass shit. I don't like weak ass shit. A, B, or C. And the correct answer was, I don't like soft ass shit.
Which is B, which is what I said.
Mm-hmm.
Which is why these two other bitches had to take a shot.
Yeah, we were wrong.
And that was rude.
Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, there you are. If you're at home and you're wrong, take a shot.
Yeah.
Of whatever you like. Those are the
and
words.
Just watch the movie.
And then send us a message. And a picture and selfie of you of what shot you took.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And send it to
TravisBud@ditpics@AOL.com.
At GeoCities, actually. But yeah.
I don't have that AOL anymore. I lost that password and I couldn't get it back in. But that's the same thing with my mom.
So just go ahead and send it to @CinemaVino.
Jesus Christ. Anyway. We are going to take a brief break, and we're going to draw our next movie. So we're going to give Travis some black coffee. We will be right back after these messages.
After these messages,
We'll be right back.
So, we are going to draw our movie for next week that we're going to watch and discuss.
I mean, yeah. Anyway, so this is... But to be fair, this has all been... We have totally... I think this is the exact opposite of what we've been playing around with. So, I'm passing
Taylor's going to draw that out.
I'm drawing
that out. I'm going to pass that out. Surprise.
Surprise, motherfucker. Cheese and fries, motherfucker.
Oh, this seems so wrong, but so right. Here we go. Unfolding. Oh, this might be one of mine. That's kind of on me.
Oh, is it The Rock again?
Actually, okay. This one says Watership Down.
Oh, my God. Oh, no. Taylor, you went weird.
Oh, my God.
I went dark. Mm-hmm. It was like, I went dark.
It's one of the darkest things that...
But I didn't clarify if, that was, if it was the early or late.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
We can't do the late one. That's like a whole TV series.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like 10 episodes.
Yeah.
8 episodes.
But there was a movie about it. There's Now movie.
So I don't think I'm going to show up to this. So, Halloween.
Yeah.
Y'all.
So, yeah, we're going to do Watership Down for our next.
Bright eyes burning like fire. So
what are we going to drink during that? That's like
that's like depressing
film. Yeah.
He just came. Well, I put my dog out and he just opened the door and came back in.
A la Jurassic Park.
Yeah.
Clever girl.
People
quiet, always, all of you. And entering the Tyrannosaur paddock.
People always say Border Collies are the smartest dogs. Ours just opened the door and came back in.
Well, and is now trying to go back out.
Yeah, so.
Oh, I think he broke your door.
That's fun. We'll get another door.
Yeah. So.
He's a good primer for having
a kid. So we're watching Watership Down.
We're watching a movie about rabbits who kill each other.
Big wig.
That movie gave me nightmares as a fifth grader, so yeah. We're going to test that out as adults.
Yeah. I'll say, I guess, yeah. I mean, I guess it is. Does work for Halloween if it gives us all nightmares.
Yeah.
Bunnies suffocating underground. Getting killed by giant creatures.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm going to sleep soundly tonight. Thanks, Tay.
So, do you guys have anything to say before we sign off? This has been another Cinema Vino.
This entire night has been a mistake.
Oh!
I wish I had...
Oh, I'm sorry, pretty boy.
Yeah.
Yeah, what else will you know?
Losers whine about their bashed. Carla was the prom queen.
Oh, I thought you were going to finish the line.
Actually, the motherfucker's a big Beatles fan. Nick Cage, Stanley Goodspeed. Meet the Beatles.
Is a hell of an Elvis fan, exactly. Too. Mm-hmm.
Which is weird, because, like, you know...
Married Elvis's daughter.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Who's a Scientologist. So, yeah.
Cadillac Frankenstein. Frankenstein Cadillac. I don't know.
Wait, Frankenstein was a Scientologist?
Einhorn is Finkel. Mm-hmm.
Finkel is Einhorn.
Yeah. Drink that in. Yeah, we got real fucking dorky. Good speed. It's like Godspeed.
Yeah.
I tell you, my old man was Irish.
Yeah.
It never came up.
Horrible one-liners never came all up throughout that. Stand down, Captain. I'm sad I didn't get to scream that in the microphone at least once tonight.
Yeah. I wish we had backed it up right before. He was like, do you like the Rocky Man, Elton John? I'm like, I like soft ass shit. And then just Nicolas Cage's response, right before he delivers his line.
That's funny because
it's you.
You're the Rocky Man.
You're the Rocky Man.
Mm-hmm. Michael Bay must have been rolling in his grave.
Yeah.
It's like
R.I.P.
Yeah.
But anyway, this has been another episode of Cinema Vino, and we thank you. And we invite you to come back next week for apparently Watership Down.
Yeah.
Jesus. MovieReviews.us. Mm-hmm. Listen, subscribe, and rate on Apple Podcasts or Spotify. Like, I feel like I've just gotten over the emotional hurdle of that film.
Mm-hmm. It took 30 fucking years.
Mm-hmm. Just when I think I'm out, it keeps dragging me back in. Pulling
me back in. So, come back and join us next week, won't you?
Please.
Do you have sound effects on your microphone that can make me sound like less of a bitch?
Crazy Irish when I, douche.
When I listen and to a douche, back, I sounded like,
oh, me so horny. Crazy Ira, clean your room.